Will you turn with me to the book of Hosea, please, chapter 2. Hosea, chapter 2. And you might ask yourself now, where is that wee book? Well, you go to Ezekiel, then Daniel, and then Hosea. Beginning to read at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there. And in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and thou shalt be no more Baalai. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. I will betroth her. Pardon me, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. So come to pass in that day. I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. Notice, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that have not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which are not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Trust the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, shut us in with thyself tonight. Let your word find its true and lodging place in our hearts. Bless the youth as they have their meeting down in the building tonight. And Lord, we pray that as Denise gives a word of testimony to them, we pray, Lord, that her testimony would speak to their hearts. Encourage Denise, help her, touch her, strengthen her. And bless her. Heal her. Heal her, Father. Heal her body. She needs a touch from you. And we pray, Father, now that you'd speak to each and every one of us here tonight. For Jesus' name's sake, I pray and ask it. Amen. The prophet Hosea is a prophet to the northern kingdom called the House of Israel. We're going to look at a little bit of history here in a moment in the scripture. But Hosea prophesies on the whole to the northern kingdom of Israel. Will you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11, please? 1 Kings chapter 11. Due to Solomon's sin as the king over the United Kingdom of Israel, due to his having loved many strange women who were daughters of Pharaoh, we're told in verse 1, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians and the Hittites, and of the nations concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them. Notice here we're told, due to his Solomon's sin, this is what the Lord said would happen. Notice it says here, just for time's sake, I would advise you to read 1 Kings 11, the whole chapter, if you get a chance when you go home. Verse 9, the Lord was very angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which happened, which appeared. Pardon my eyesight. My eyes are weak tonight. My voice is weak. I'm tired. I've had a long week. Pardon my reading. I apologize for it. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So God is angry with him for his sin, even though he appeared to Solomon twice. He's given him after his father David, comes Solomon, ruling in Jerusalem over a united kingdom of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says in verse 10, and had commanded him concerning this thing, and he should not go after other gods, small g, not real gods, only one true living God. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, notice, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So the Lord said, because of David my servant, your father, David's dead and gone, but because of him, I won't rend the kingdom from you. I'll take it out of your son's hand when he is king. His son is known as Rehoboam. Jeroboam's son is Rehoboam. Let your eye run down the chapter, if you will. Let your eye run down the chapter. Verse 28. And the man Jeroboam. Now Jeroboam is whom the Lord is speaking of. He is the servant of Solomon. He's like an understudy to Solomon. Rehoboam is the son. Jeroboam is the servant. The man Jeroboam was mighty in valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. That would be the northern territory. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they were two were in a, alone in a field. Notice, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, will give thee 10 tribes, give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. So the Lord is rending the kingdom from Solomon. Ahijah the prophet meets Jeroboam, and he takes off his new garment, rips it into 12, and he gives Jeroboam 10 pieces of his torn garment. And he says, I'll give you 10 tribes, but there'll be one for Judah, David's tribe, and one to stand with Judah all the days. Notice, if you will, he says in verse 33, but I will take the, pardon me, verse 35, I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. So this tribe, later we read, is the tribe of Benjamin, is with the tribe of Judah, which is David's tribe, Solomon's tribe. And he says that I'll give Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the tribe of David, the house of David, the tribe where he comes from, Judah, and I'll give him a light before him always. And that tribe becomes the tribe of Benjamin. So Benjamin becomes known as the light light-bearing tribe. The light-bearing tribe. Into chapter 12, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. This is Solomon's son now becomes the king. And just again, for time's sake, we have Jeroboam comes, and he comes to Rehoboam the king, and he basically asks for an ease up on the taxes, if you want. And Rehoboam takes the counsel of the younger men rather than the older, wiser men, and he says, I'll make it even worse for you. I'm paraphrasing of what happens in this chapter. And then Jeroboam, he decides this is going to happen. Verse 16, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. Now, from here on in, the kingdom is rent into two. Into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. We have the northern capital city, which becomes Samaria. They have a line of kings come out of it. We read of Ahab and Jezebel. Every king in the north out of Samaria is a wicked king. And then we have, of course, some like Jehoshaphat and so on, who are good, some bad, and some wicked in the southern kingdom coming from the line of David in Jerusalem. And so we have the Lord reigns the kingdom. Now they go to fight with one another. Let your eye run down to verse 24. The Lord says, verse 23, pardon me, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin. So there's the light-bearing tribe with them. And to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. And they hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Now here's what they do in the northern kingdom. Verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel and he put the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people. Went to worship before one even unto Dan. So in the northern kingdom, Jeroboam says, the people are starting to still travel to Jerusalem to worship. I know, golden calf at Dan and a golden calf at Bethel. That's at one end to the other of the country. You can go here to worship and stay away from Jerusalem. You are not to go to Jerusalem to worship. So here Ahijah comes and prophesies, and now this prophecy has come to pass. The Lord said, I will rend the kingdom. Now, even in the New Testament, this happens again. Jesus does this to the Jews. In Matthew 21 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus comes to them for their rejection of him. And he says, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So what God done in the old, here God in Christ has done in the new. And the word, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, people say, well, that must be the church. No, it isn't the church. We're going to look at this. Church is the word ecclesia. The word nation here is ethnos. It's where we get ethnic from. We hear today of ethnic minority. We hear of ethnicism of a certain ethnic people. We, of the white race, if you want, we are called Caucasians because we came from the area of the Caucasus Mountains. Notice this, if you will. And here we have the separation And now that stays the same the whole way through the scripture. Even into the parables of the New Testament. I'm going to mention one or two of them for you in a minute. But notice, so the Lord has rent the kingdom, and now they are known as two nations, two kingdoms. They're called two houses, the house of Israel, house of Judah. They are called two sticks, and they are called two sons and two sisters and other things throughout scripture. The whole way through, they have two lines of kings. They have two destinies as well. For example, let me just show you a couple of these. Remember, they're coming in twos. First of all, he want to show you 2 Kings 16, please. So the kingdom is rent. 2 Kings chapter 16. And let your eye run down, if you will, to verse 5. Then Rezin, king of Syria, so that's above the northern kingdom of Israel, where Syria is today. Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. So this is the king of Syria, and then beneath them, the king of Israel. It isn't the kings of Jerusalem, it is the king of Israel in the north. This is what who they're speaking of. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, notice, came up to Jerusalem to war. So now the Israelites and the Syrians have made a confederacy with each other, and they are coming to fight against Jerusalem. Notice this, but they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath, the Syria, and drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. Do you see 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 6? That is the first time you will read of the word Jews in your Bible. You can go check me out in this. It's the very first time you'll read of the word Jew, the name Jews. In fact, the Jew in the singular comes even later than this mentioned. It's Israel are fighting the Jews. Syria and Israel are fighting the Jews. In other words, they're against Judah in the south. Go with me then to Jeremiah 31, please. Jeremiah 31. And let your eye run down the chapter to verse 31. Behold, the day has come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them up out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband. Notice, God is their husband. This happens in Exodus chapter 19. God marries them at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses is the officiator of the marriage. Though I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 13, this is rehearsed in your New Testament. Also in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, verses 16 to 18, it is rehearsed again. And our Lord Jesus, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, that in the same night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance me. Likewise, after same manner, he also took a cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is the covenant of Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33. We broke bread. We gathered around the table this morning in remembrance of it. So from about 975 BC onward, scripture, history, and prophecy, they become twos, two nations, two kingdoms, two houses. Go back with me in Jeremiah to Jeremiah chapter. In fact, don't go back. Let's go on forward. Let's go to Ezekiel, just for time's sake. I've a few jotted down here. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, please. Let your eye run down to verse 15. So Ezekiel, in history, these kingdoms have been separated. The house of Israel has been taken away by the Assyrians. Shalmaneser was one of the main ones who took them away. Around 120 years later, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon takes them into Babylon. That is the house of Judah into Babylon. And Ezekiel is around this time. So this is where we are here. Notice, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Now, Joseph is the northern territory. Joseph is another name for the northern kingdom of the house of Israel. Ephraim becomes the name again of the house of Israel, because Ephraim becomes the firstborn. Ephraim is my firstborn. Jeremiah 31 also, is it? It's top of my head, sorry. But what happened was Reuben is the firstborn, and he had lost his birthright. Ephraim takes the firstborn title, and so the northern kingdom become known as Judah or Joseph. They become known as Ephraim. They're also become known as Samaria after their capital city. So here we have the Lord saying, take the stick of Joseph or Ephraim, the name of Ephraim, and one for Judah, and they will both be joined in my hand. But how does this happen? This happens in the new covenant. This happens in Christ alone. This happens at the covenant that the Lord said he would make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Go with me, if you will, to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23. As I said, I'm doing this like more of a Bible study tonight, because it's a different night and there's people away on Father's Day and families are away, the youth are down there, so I thought we'll do something different tonight. Ezekiel 23, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, daughters of one mother, and they committed whoredoms in Egypt. They committed whoredoms in their youth. There were their breast pressed, and there they bruised the teats of their virginity. Notice, and the names of them, this is the names of the daughters, are Aholah, the elder, and Aholibah, her sister. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names Samaria, that's the name of the capital city of the northern kingdom. Thus were their names, Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem is Aholibah. And Aholah played the harlot when she was mine. Notice the past tense. Because God divorces the northern kingdom. He says in Isaiah 50, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement to them? He divorces them because of their sin. He's married in Exodus 19. They are adulterous. They have many different lovers, in other words, other nations. They have disregarded him. They have brought in other false gods. They have worshipped everyone but Jehovah. And God says, I'm your husband. Get out. I divorce you. And the Assyrians take them out of the homeland from what we would call the Holy Land or Palestine today. So notice, Ahala played the harlot when she was mine, and she doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors. Now see the word here, Ahala. Do you know what her name means? She hath her own tent. She was bringing lovers into her own home. She had her own place of worship. The idol, bull, calves, as we talked about, one in Dan and one in Bethel. These be thy gods, O Israel, what brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Whenever Jeroboam had them made that they wouldn't go down to Jerusalem to worship, he says, here's your gods. And it means she hath her own tent. She brought other lovers in. And God had had enough. Notice this again, if you will, just for time's sake, verse 11. And when her sister Aholibah saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. Take note, if you will. Ahala was wicked and divorced. Aholibah was Jerusalem. In other words, it was Judah, or the derivative word of the Jews. And he says, they're even worse. That's what God said here. They're even worse than these Israelites of the northern kingdom. They became even worse than she was. So we have two sisters here. They're the two kingdoms, the two capital cities. I'm going to do one, just one, because this is the key. Old Testament keys to New Covenant parables. If you will, turn with me to, let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, let your eye go on down the chapter, please. The verse 28. Here's the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he says. So the northern kingdom are gone. Years by now, hundreds of years. And this is all the remnant who's left in Judea. This is the remnant of Judah with an admixture of Edomite Jews. Notice what he says in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and says, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily, I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards that ye might believe him. Now notice, there was a man had two sons. He says to the first, go work today in my vineyard. He answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and he went. The second son said, I will go, but didn't go. And many people say, what on earth does that mean? It's simple when you get the key. The one who said, go work in my vineyard, and the one who says, I will go, or I will not, and later does, is the northern kingdom who were scattered. And they do because they come under the sound of the gospel. And they start bringing in the work, the fruit of God, of the kingdom. The one who says, I will go, he was speaking to the Jews. And they says, I will go, but they don't, because they rejected him. The southern kingdom, or the remnant of them at this time. Makes sense to you? So Jesus is thinking of not only the scripture, the history, but the prophecy. The prophecy of it. Look down the chapter here, if you will. It says here in verse 31, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged round about it and digged a wine press on it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord thereof, this is the question, when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? Now, Jesus is speaking of himself. He said that prophets have come, you've slew them, you've stoned them, you've cast them out. Now the Father gives his son, and you're saying, let's lay hold of him and kill him. He says, what will the Father do to these people? What will he do to them? Verse 41, this is their reply. And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen and will render him the fruits that will render him the fruits of his season. And Jesus saith unto them, did ye ever read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is saying, you've rejected me. I'm the head, the chief cornerstone. You're rejecting me. But the house of Israel scattered will accept me. They will accept me. Verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, an ethnos, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, notice, they perceived that he spake of them. In AD 70, Titus came and destroyed it. They say up to 1 million Jews were either taken captive or died. What will happen when they reject Christ this time and he comes? But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. See this word here in verse 43, nation, ethnos, we spoke about ethnic, people of the same ethnic. Remember Jesus said one time, he says, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. He says, see this fold. In other words, he's looking to this Judea, especially to the southern kingdom, which was over really ruled by the Jews at this time, or where you get the word Judah from, Jews from Judah, although it's a derivative name anyway, but it's there was an element of them there. And he said, see this fold, other sheep of I, which are not of this fold. Who were the sheep? The sheep was the other kingdom, who were among the Gentiles. I'm going to look at this. Among the Gentiles. See the word here in verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So the word ethnos or nation here, where people say, well, that's Gentiles, that's non-Hebrew, Israelite, or Jewish. That's what we hear. Will you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12, please? Genesis 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. See the word here, nation. So in the Greek text, it's ethnos. In the Hebrew text, it's the word goy for the singular, goy for the singular, or goyim for the plural. And the Lord, now this won't make sense to you until I show you something here. Let's read it like this. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great goy. A great goyim. I will make of thee a great nation. And in other words, you won't be an Israelite nation or a Hebrew nation or whatever. I will make a great goy. It doesn't go here. What he's saying is that Israel will become among the nations. He's saying here that they will become Gentilized, but still Hebrew, Israelite, as to their race. Hope you have got this. This is a big word and he's studied out for weeks. But people just throw it out there. And the Lord says, I will make you, but your people will become like Gentiles. And hence when we transferred into the new covenant, there's neither Jew nor Gentile bond or free. Southern kingdom, Gentile, Abraham's seed who are Gentilized. It's the northern kingdom. I better move on from this. You know, the prodigal son, he's the northern kingdom, the backslidden one. The older brother, when he gets home, is that Judaism, or that the house of Judah, but that the intermingled with the Jews and their religion. Ah, this your son comes home and you accept him because the gospel went out to him. God accepts us when we come to him. So that's my introduction. Turn to the book of Hosea. Chapter 2, please. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. So here, whenever you look at this book of Hosea, Hosea represents Jehovah here. Okay? Hosea is a representation of God, Jehovah here. Gomer, his wife, is a representation of the northern house of Israel. Because remember, Hosea is writing to the northern kingdom. He's the prophet to them. And so Hosea here is the Lord, and Gomer, his wife, is the northern kingdom. And she's a woman of whoredoms. She's a loose woman, if you want. And the Lord tells him to marry her. God asks us to do sometimes strange things. And God says, go and marry this woman. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The Lord said unto Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Gomer's name here means consuming. Diblia means withered. Picture of the nation was full of consuming factors on the nation. It's exactly the same tonight. Nation consumers. And consumers are consuming themselves. And Dibliam here means withered. They're withering on the vine, spiritual weakness. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. See that? So God says you're going to cease this kingdom. So that's the first child that was born. Verse 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will have no more mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. So he says, the northern kingdom, he says, they're not mine, I'll not have mercy on them, and I'll utterly take them away, there'll be no more. And that's what happened. But the southern kingdom of Judah, he says, I'll have compassion. She still had some good kings, she still had temple worship. Then in verse 8, and when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So he says, you're not my people anymore to the house of Israel. I will not be your God. What a judgment to be pronounced over a people. What a terrible judgment to be pronounced over any people. Jezreel means God sows, S-O-W-S, God scatters. So here they're withering, they're consuming, it's destroying them. And God says, call his name Jezreel, I'm going to sow them, I'm going to scatter them. Then he says, the next one, Lo-Ruhamah, I won't have no more mercy upon them. And then he says to the next one, call him Lo-Ami, for you're not my people, and I will not be your God. Imagine that being the very final, the finality of God's word about you. That's horrific. That is terrible when we think of this. But you know something? Go to Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. In fact, if when you go home, read all of chapter 2 and verse 6, for example. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that shall not find her pass. And she becomes lost to herself. And this is when in history she becomes Gentiles or Gentilized. Still Israelite, but Gentilized. Verse 14, therefore I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. In the wilderness. And speak comfortably. What does that mean, speak comfortably? This is the gospel. This is the gospel of grace, saving grace in Christ. I'm going to speak comfortably unto her. You know, the Lord says, shall not call me Ishi, or that means husband, my man, in verse 16. God says, you will not call me your husband anymore. You will not call me your man as a husband with his wife. I'll take away the names out of her. I'll make a covenant for her. What is that covenant? We've already shown you tonight. Christ died for our sins. Christ came and shed his blood for us. Notice in verse 19. This is in Christ now. I will betroth her unto me. The despised house. The sinful house of Israel. adulteress before her husband, is she? He says, I will take her and I will betroth her unto me. But how are you going to do that? For your law says you can't unless her husband dies. He says, I'm going to come in the person of my son and I will die for her. Christ is the bridegroom and we are his bride. We're betrothed unto him. Isn't this tremendous? Isn't this tremendous stuff? He says it three times, I will betroth thee unto me. And look at verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy. First of all, he's saying, I will not have mercy. But now, when he speaks comfortably to her in the wilderness, this is her wanderings of Europe or across the West. This is going to Turkey, to Italy, right across to, or pardon me, to Greece, to Italy. Paul wanting to go to Spain, right into the British Isles. And he says, as you migrate across, he says, I will sow you in the earth, but I will come and send the gospel after you. And I'll betroth you to me. And you're going to be my bride. And I'm going to be your husband. I'm going to have to close. There's too much here, but stay with me for a few moments. And I will sow her unto me, verse 23, in the earth. I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. You know, way back here, he's saying, I'll not be your God. But now in Christ, we're saying, yes, you are my God. Will you go with me to Romans chapter 9, please? The Apostle Paul wasn't dumb to this, you know. The Apostle Paul wasn't dumb at all to it. Romans chapter 9, let your eye run down to verse 25. As he saith in Osi, that is Hosea, I will call them my people. Who's he speaking to? He was speaking to the house of Israel. He was speaking to them gentilized. They're lost in their sin. Speaking to you and to me. I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Praise God in Christ, we are the children of the living God. One more thought. A couple more scriptures, like, but one more thought. Notice in verse 14 of Hosea 2, therefore I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, please. Verse 1, and there was a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now we know that this is the woman, the same woman, Israel. How do you know? Well, Genesis, put your finger there, go to Genesis 37. Listen, I haven't went out of the scriptures tonight. Didn't need to. Didn't need to try and think what I thought or heard what I was taught. We've stayed in the word. Genesis 37. And let your eye run down the chapter for time's sake, please. Verse 9, he dreamed yet another dream. This is Joseph, and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren, and to his and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Notice, the father, Jacob Israel, was the sun here. The mother of Israel was the moon. The 11 stars were his other 11 brothers. He is the 12th of the 12 tribes. And so here John sees this, the scattering across, he says, and there appeared, Revelation 12, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Clothed with the sun was Jacob. Moon under her feet was his wives of Israel. And the 11 stars are the brethren. Joseph being the 12th. 12 stars, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Notice, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast him to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, that is before Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is the Christ child, the Lord Jesus. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God. Here's his ascension into heaven and to his throne. Notice, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Israel is in the wilderness. Hosea, God said, I will allure her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. So much more in this that we would look at, but we just don't have the time to do so. So, when Paul is writing the Gospels, or you want to go through, jot these down, and you'll see how God brings the Gospel. Time's gone. How God brings, sends the apostles, the Gospel comes. Again, this. Go with me to Revelation 3 while we're here. Sure, might as well, will we? Another 5 minutes, do no harm, will it? Revelation chapter 3. Let your eye run down to verse 8. So Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3 are the 7 churches of Asia, which are in Turkey today. And these are the 7 churches that these letters are being written to. And Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. The Lord says, this is to the church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia, it comes from the word phileo from the Greek, to means to love, a brotherly love. Not agape, but phileo, a brotherly love. And here we have an open door in the earth. It says in verse 8, I know thy works, the Lord says to the church of Philadelphia. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Notice, from the first church here in chapter 2 is the church of Ephesus. It goes through time, right the whole way through, until the coming of the Lord. 7 churches, 7 the number of perfection. Here is the church of Philadelphia. In time, if you want, I'm trying to think. In time, it would be around the time of the missionary endeavors. It would be the time where God has opened the door for the word of God to go out, for the Bibles to be printed. We have the like of the Wesleys that would be around this time, and Spurgeon and different ones. And that was known as the period of the brotherly love, of the missionary endeavor, of the church of Philadelphia prophetically. And the Lord says here, I've set before you an open door. God sent it out prophetically. And then when we come into the turn of the 19th, 20th century, we have the last period, which is coming, and where we are is the lukewarm, the 7th church, where Christ is standing at the door at a church that makes him sick because they're neither refreshingly cold nor burning hot with zeal. But notice here, He set the door on the earth for missionary endeavor out. God said, I'll bring you into a wilderness. Before that, we had the Protestant Reformation, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, 31st of October, 1517. God says, I'll speak comfortably unto you. The just shall live by faith. Then after that, we had those of the great preachers across our lands. We had John Knox in Scotland. Turned Scotland to the glory of God. We go on and on. Right into the times of the Pentecostal movement. The Lord says, I'll speak comfortably. I'll speak comfortably to you. And I betroth you to me. We had the revivals of the Hebrides, the Ulster revival. We just keep going on. Speaking comfortably to us. You're betrothed to me. You weren't my people, but now you're my people. I'm your God. Ulster still has a God. Britain, United Kingdom still has a God. Ireland, under the cause of Rome, is starting to turn to God. God is still on his throne. This is scripture. This is history. This is prophecy. Prophecy is history foretold. God says it'll happen. It's going to happen. Prophecy is history foretold. And history is prophecy fulfilled. Oh, as the king, the northern kingdom of Israel. Oh, but the charge would turn again. That God would turn his heart away from the abominations that he's involved in. Away from the wickedness of his heart. And turn back to God. May God bless his word to us tonight.